Thank you very much. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 21. And I'm reading from verse 1 to 7. Genesis 21, from verse 1 to 7. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. God will visit somebody here tonight. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God has made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. Somebody here will laugh from now on. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck, for her born him a son in his old age? We're talking about lifted into glory. Inside every man, every woman, is a hunger to go higher. Everybody wants to go higher. The student in the university wants to graduate. And thank God we are anointing our graduates from round tonight. It's after they get their first degree, after the celebration of about 1 week or so, they suddenly discover that if they were called Mr. the day before, they are still Mr. now. If they were Miss before, they are still Miss. So they say, maybe if I go for PhD, then I can become doctor. Then they get PhD and they are called doctor. And they rejoice until they see a watch repairer who calls himself doctor of watches. So they say, no, I think I better move forward and become professor. And they become professor. And they rejoice for a while until they get to the filling station and find that there's no difference between professor and taxi driver at the petrol station. And they say, okay, if I become VC, maybe I better stop there so that... But everybody wants to go higher. The single wants to be married. The married wants to have children. The mother of children will want to become grandmother. In the name that's above every other name, every one of you here today shall be lifted. Now, as I spoke earlier on, I was talking about sinners being in a hole. But do you know that almost everyone is in one kind of hole or the other? Some are in physical hole. They are not dead, but one leg alive, one leg in the grave. Some people are socially in a hole, lonely, no friends. Some are maritally in a hole, single or barren. Their marriage is hell on earth. Some people are materially in a hole. No job, no money, many a times in debt. Some are career-wise in a hole. They've not had promotion now for donkey years. Those who are their juniors have been promoted above them. Some are emotionally in a hole, sad, depressed, afraid. Some are spiritually in a hole, backsliding and merely pretending. Some are in more than one hole. Some are sick and at the same time no friends, no helpers, no promotion, no wife, no children, no job. There are some people who are so deep in their hole now that when you say Happy New Year, it means nothing to them. But in the name of the one who called me, no matter how deep your hole, you are coming out tonight. As I go ahead, when you need to write down a prayer point, I will tell you, you will write it down, because I will want you to do all the praying together tonight. Are you in a physical hole? There is someone who can pull you out. In Mark chapter 3, verse 1 to 5, Mark chapter 3, verse 1 to 5, the Bible talked about a man with a withered hand. If a hand is withered, there's nothing the owner of the hand can do about it. But there is someone who can make the withered hand whole. Have you an incurable disease? Second Kings chapter 5, from verse 1 to 14. Second Kings 5, 1 to 14. There was nothing a man could do about leprosy. With all his fame, with all his wealth, he was watching helplessly as one finger after the other was dropping off. But there's someone who can lift you out of the hole of an incurable disease. When somebody hears the doctor say, there's nothing more we can do for you, he looks for a chair to sit on, because he suddenly feels himself sinking. I pray in the name that's above every other name, if the doctor had told you that there's nothing more they can do, my Father would do something for you. In John 11, 39 to 44, John 11, 39 to 44, when Jesus got to the tomb of Lazarus, the sister said, this hole is too deep. Even you, there's nothing you can do about it. Jesus Christ said, let's wait and see. He spoke a word, and the man who had been dead for 4 days came back to life. In Ezekiel 37 from verse 1 to 10, Ezekiel 37 from verse 1 to 10, this God that I serve can make even dry bones live again. He can do it. It was a testimony I had when I was a young Christian. A boy had an accident and they had to amputate his two legs. And then he heard that a man of God was preaching somewhere that God is a miracle worker, there is nothing God cannot do. So he came. came to the crusade. Somehow God directed the attention of the man of God to this boy. God will direct his attention to you today. God spoke to the man of God loud and clear. The man of God heard. You know, occasionally when you hear what God is saying, unless you know it is God, it is difficult to announce. The man of God went down from the altar, stood before the boy, and said, "Young man, go and buy yourself a pair of shoes." But the boy looked at him. "Are you mocking me? The two legs are gone." But the boy said, "What? He came to me out of all this crowd." And the boy went, bought a pair of shoes. Came the second day, brought the pair of shoes. Nothing happened. Third day, nothing happened. The final day of the crusade, just as the man of God said, "In the name of Jesus," two brand new legs grew out. That God is still alive today. I want you to write down your prayer number one. And that is, "Father, restore me fully tonight." Just restore me fully. If there's anything in my body that had gone, restore me fully tonight. We've had testimonies here. We've had testimonies of people without womb, people without fallopian tubes, giving birth to children. That God has not changed. Right, cry to him when the time comes that he should restore you fully. Are you in a marital hole? Are you lonely? Single? I have good news for you. Because according to Genesis chapter 2, and you can read it from verse 18 to 23, Genesis 2, verse 18 to 23. God is the original matchmaker. Adam didn't even know that he needed a wife. It was God's idea. So it's not a good thing for man to be alone. And you know what? He hasn't changed. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. Malachi 3 verse 6 says, "I am the Lord, I change not." How do I know he hasn't changed? This is good news for those of you who are yet to be married. Because how am I going to have children if I'm not married? I'm believing God that before the end of the year, you will sing a new song. In Genesis 24, from verse 1 to the end, Genesis 24, from verse 1 to the end, the Bible tells us about how Abraham sent his servant to go and get a wife for Isaac. Isaac didn't even know that his father had made a plan. But what I found so interesting in that story was that when the servant got to a well, he prayed a prayer. "Oh God of my master, I'm going to sit by this well. Among all the girls that will come here to fetch water, anyone I say to, please give me water to drink." And she will say, "I will give you water to drink. I will even give to your camels. Let him be the one you have chosen." Read that passage. Before he finished praying, the girl God has chosen came. Because God arranged everything. Whoever is going to be your partner, sent from heaven, in the name that's above every other name, even before the end of this month, that fellow will show up. maybe you are married, but you've been trusting God for the fruit of the womb and nothing had happened yet. He wiped away the tears of Hannah. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 9 to 20. 1 Samuel 1, 9 to 20. The Bible says Hannah wept sore. But that was the last time she wept. And now I'm believing God that there is someone here who has been weeping every month. The last time you wept, that's the last time you ever weep. In Genesis 18, verse 9 to 14, Genesis 18, 9 to 14, when God said to Abraham that Sarah was going to have a son, Sarah laughed. It was a laughter of mockery. By the time we got to Genesis 21, it was no longer a laughter of mockery, it was a laughter of joy. Because as we have been told, old age is no barrier to him. I have so I can tell you, many of them you have heard again and again. You've heard of someone here today, barren for 10 years, barren for 18 years, barren for 22 years. I told you, I think last month or the month before, of one of my daughters in Britain who was barren for 38 years. That God who answers all these people will answer you also. And so write down your prayer number 2 and say, Father, put a new song of joy in my mouth this month. Be specific. Father, put a new song of joy in my mouth this month. Are you in a material hole? Down to next to nothing. In 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8 to 16. 1 Kings 17. Thank you, Father. Daddy says, I carried Israel out of Egypt on eagle's wings. I will carry you out. Amen and amen. Amen. Daddy asked me to tell someone. He said, Anna asked for one child. She ended up with 6. He asked me to tell you what I did for Hannah is what I'm going to do for you. In 1 Kings chapter 17 from verse 8 to 16, 1 Kings 17, 8 to 16, the widow of Zarephath was down to the last meal. But God was on time. In 2 Kings chapter 4 from verse 1 to 7, 2 Kings chapter 4 from verse 1 to 7, the other widow of the son of the prophet was not even just down to the last meal. The creditors were closing in. They wanted to sell his children. Not just poor, but heavily in debt. And some people who are so heavily in debt, they don't even know how they can ever pay. There is someone who can lift you out of debt. That God is here. In 2 Kings chapter 7 from verse 1 to 11, 2 Kings chapter 7 from verse 1 to 11, this God I'm talking about can lift a siege in less than 24 hours. Since we are so bad in the city, people were eating their children. When the man of God spoke and said, by this time tomorrow, there'll be abundance. Let me decree into the life of someone, before you return next month, you will be debt free. How is it going to happen? Never you try to figure out God with your brain. I've said it before. Once he decides to do something, he will do it. I will remind you of the story of one of my sons. I was at the University of Ilorin. I just moved from the University of Lagos, and they gave me a mansion. And he had so many electrical problems. So this my son, who was an electrician, came and helped me fix everything. When he finished, I said, okay, how much am I going to pay? He said, Daddy, how can I charge you? It's only one thing I want you to do for me. I don't have money to travel back. I have nothing at all. Just give me transport money and pray for me. I gave him transport money and I told him, you don't need prayer. I said, God will bless you. You see, some people don't understand when I say God will bless you. Many times when I'm going for my walk at night, I will see some people running towards me. And I know they want help. And I will turn to them, lift my hand and say, God bless you. They will say amen, and then they say, come, pray for me. Ah. When I say God bless you, that means the Almighty God will summon all the forces in heaven and on earth to assist you. May God bless you. So my son left the lorry, took public transport, arrived at Oyinbo, or somewhere there in Ebute-Metta. And as he was coming down from the lorry or bus, he saw a classmate that he had not seen for years. Ah, hello, long time no see. What are you doing now? I'm an electrician. And you? Oh, I'm working at Dodan Barracks. Ah, that's very good. And the friend said to him, come and see me tomorrow. He left me with God bless you some hours before. He arrived, met a friend he has not seen for a long time. That one said, see me at Dodan Barracks tomorrow. 2 weeks later, when I saw my son, he was riding a brand new car. Write down your prayer number 3. Father, turn the tide for me tonight. Turn the tide for me. This very moment, turn the tide. Pull me out of poverty on a permanent basis. Are you in a hole socially? Are you a total failure? The Almighty God can move you to a new level today. In Luke chapter 5 from verse 1 to 11, Luke 5 from verse 1 to 11, Peter was a total failure. Fished all night, caught nothing. But within an hour, a total failure had been moved to a totally new level. In Genesis 26, from verse 1 to 14, Genesis 26. Thank you, Father. I want to say amen to this one before I tell you. Because Daddy says there's someone here tonight who will very soon say, Lord, I have enough. I don't know enough of what, maybe enough of children, maybe enough of money, maybe enough of health. Somebody will soon say, Lord, I have enough. If you are that one, let me hear you shout hallelujah. In Genesis 26, from verse 1 to 14, Genesis 26, 1 to 14, it was in the midst of a famine, serious famine, that Isaac became the envy of a nation. Years ago, when I was studying that part of the scriptures, God pointed out something to me and said, stars are seen only in the night. When everything is dark, that's when stars begin to shine. I prophesied to someone today, irrespective of what the economy of the nation may be saying, you will shine. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 9 to 13, 2 Samuel chapter 6, from verse 9 to 13, the Bible tells us a story. David was about to bring the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. An accident happened on the way. Somebody touched the ark that shouldn't touch it and died. And David said, no, I can't take the Ark of the Covenant into my house. So he took it to the house of Obed-Edom. They said Obed-Edom, the Gittite. If he can die, let him die. It doesn't matter. Obed-Edom was nobody. But within 3 months, Obed-Edom became the talk of the town. As the God who sent me lives, there's somebody here. Before December, you'll become famous. You know, it takes only one miracle, just one miracle, for you to become known. By the grace of God, next month, I will bring that to my daughter here and let her come and tell her story herself. I'm sure you read about her, who just went witnessing, and then miracles began to happen. And it took policemen to rescue her from those who wanted to touch her. When she woke up that morning, she didn't know she was going to become the talk of the town. And that God who did that one for her will surprise you also. I've told you the story of one of my sons. I told some people. When he was very young, small boy, he would come to church at Ebute Metta and give me 1 naira every Sunday. And as little as he was, he would prophesy, "Daddy, one day I will buy you a jet." And I would say, "Amen." Touch him on the head. "God bless you, my son. Going to buy me a jet. One naira. Then, after some time, I didn't see him for a while. "Where is my one naira boy? He has grown and left." And one day, after one program in London, he came. "Do you remember me?" "The face looks familiar, but I'm your one naira boy." "Ah, how are you?" He said, "I'm not able to buy you a jet yet, but I have a gift for you." I said, "Good, where's the gift?" He said, "You have to come outside to see." "What kind of gift is this that cannot be carried into my office?" I went outside and I saw a Mercedes S-Class. He said, "I'm on my way. There's somebody here tonight. Everything your heart desires to do for God, God will make it easy for you." Write down your prayer number 4. Prayer number 4. "Father, turn my life to a major testimony. Father, turn my life to a major testimony." But then, like I said, there are some people. Thank you, Father. The Lord said, "There's someone here tonight." He said, "From now on a daily basis, I will draw you closer and closer and closer to me." That must be me. Are you in many holes? Not just one. Like the man in John chapter 5, from verse 2 to 9. John 5, 2 to 9. Is the man who had been sick by the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. If a man had been sick for 38 years, he's in a hole. Particularly because there was no doctor who could heal him anyway. That's why he was at the pool of Bethesda waiting for an angel. It doesn't matter how long you have been sick. It doesn't matter how bad the sickness. There's someone still called the great physician. His name is Jesus. He can single you out of a crowd, like he did for that man, and he healed him. The man was not only in a physical hole, he was in a material hole. He hasn't worked for 38 years. So you know he must be begging for food. He was lonely. He was in a social hole. He said, "I had no help, nobody to help me." Nobody needs to tell you that he had no wife, no children. In a single moment, no matter how many holes are yours, the Almighty God can pull you out of them all. He can silence your mockers. Because one of the beautiful things about the story of Sarah was in Genesis chapter 16, verse 1 to 4. Genesis 16, verse 1 to 4. When she discovered that she wasn't bearing children for Abraham, he asked Abraham to take the house help. And as soon as the house help became pregnant, the Bible says she began to mock her mistress. You see the difference between us? You are called the mistress of the house. Here, I'm just a bond woman. They look at my belly. But when God made Sarah laugh, the mockers ceased. Everyone who has been mocking you will soon be celebrating with you. I'm sure you remember the story of one man. We went to Akure for a congress. We finished the congress and everybody was going home. We were rejoicing. We had a wonderful time. And there was this man who blocked my way. I said, "Sir, I mean, we finished, sir. You're not going anywhere." "You must hear my problem." "Okay, what's your problem?" "He was a fairly rich man. He had a factory. But for one reason or the other, all the engines in the factory broke down. And everything they could do to start them failed. So he ran into debt. He became so heavy in debt that when his friends saw him coming, they ran. They ran because they are not asking for what he owed them. They are running so that he won't be able to borrow more. And then things got so bad, there was no food in the house. And no food for the children. At a stage, the wife could no longer take it because the children were always crying for food. And the wife became mentally deranged. So they had to take her to one local herbalist for treatment, because the husband has no money to take her to any hospital. She said, "That's my story." I said, "In that case, stretch out your hand." He stretched out his hand. I laid my hands on his hand and I prayed. "When you get home, lay the hands on whatever." He went home. He laid his hand on the machines. They jumped to work. They began to work. "Ah, this thing is working." He ran to where the wife was, laid the hands on the wife. The wife jerked as if somebody was waking her up from his sleep. I said, "What am I doing here?" "Ah, the next time I saw him, he was riding a brand new car. Today is the traditional head of his town. From zero, the Almighty God moved him to the throne." Write down your next prayer point if you can see. If not, just remember it. And it is, "Father, just lift me up into glory, using any method you want. Any method you want to lift me into glory. Just lifting up into glory. And now, lifting is in categories. Because holes are in categories. When you look at Genesis chapter 30 from verse 1 to 2, Genesis 30 from verse 1 to 2, and then 22 to 24, Genesis 30, 1 to 2, and 22 to 24, we have the case of husband is young and wife is young. It's just that the wife is, so the two of them are young. Their own hole was not very deep. By the time you get to 2 Kings chapter 4, from verse 8 to 17, 2 Kings chapter 4 from verse 8 to 17, the husband is old. It is the wife who is not so old, but the husband was old. So their own hole was deeper than the case of husband is young, wife is young. In Genesis 18, from verse 9 to 14, Genesis 18, 9 to 14, in the case of Abraham and Sarah, husband was old, the wife was old. Their own hole was deeper still. And then in Luke chapter 7, verse 11 to 16, Luke 7, 11 to 16, the husband was dead, and the only son of the family was dead. And that's as deep as it could go. But there is someone with the everlasting arm. No matter how deep your hole may be, he will bring you up. I don't want to tell you many stories tonight because I want to give you time to pray. Because we'll be praying in a moment. So I want you to write down your own prayer point, the next prayer point. And that is that, Father, prove your almightiness in my life tonight. Prove your almightiness in my life tonight. Because the Bible says in Jeremiah 32, thank you, Father. There was a song we used to sing. We have not been singing it recently. Some of you may know it. Wonder so so, wonder so so, wonder when Jesus they do for me. Wonder so so, wonder so so, wonder when Jesus they do for me. How many of you know that song? Because you need to learn it quickly. Wonder so so, wonder so so, wonder when Jesus they do for me. Wonder so so, wonder so so, wonder when Jesus they do for me. Because God says, by this time next year, that is the song somebody will be singing. Jeremiah 32 verse 27. Jeremiah 32 verse 27. The Bible said, the Almighty God has a question. He said, behold, I am the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? So in the name that's above every other name, your own will not be too hard for God. That is why your prayer will be, God, just prove your almightiness in my life. Let me conclude so you can pray. Those who came to the divine encounter on Monday, I told them the story in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. 2 Kings 4, 1 to 7. It would be a good idea if you get the tape. But the point I made for them there is this. If somebody falls into a hole, deep hole, and he can't get out by himself, the first thing that fellow needs to do is cry. Cry until somebody can hear. Because if you are in the hole and you keep quiet, everybody will be passing by. They won't even know you are in the hole. After the fellow had cried and somebody had heard, the fellow can come, look down and say, so there's somebody down there. Okay. Hold on, I'll come and help you. And then he goes to get a rope and throws the rope down to you. And then he will tell you what to do with the rope. You may say, tie the rope around your waist 2 times. Do it this way, do it that way, and then hold on so that I can pull you out. I say, after you cry, and somebody who wants to help you are hard, you must hearken diligently to what he says, listen to the instruction he gives, and then do exactly as he says. You must pay attention to details. That widow, the son of the prophet, she was told in details, go, borrow empty vessels, borrow not a few, shut the door on you and your sons, begin to pour out the oil, and set aside that which is full. She followed the details. And I told them, for example, maybe you had some people crying, clapping when they said it's offering time. They learned it on Monday. I told them a story of when I went to a church somewhere abroad. As soon as I entered the church, I knew, God has blessed these people. Everyone there, they were all looking prosperous. And I was wondering, are we not serving the same God? But then they say, the service went on, and as soon as they say, offering time, they all began to rejoice. They all began to clap. And God spoke to me and said, you see, that's their secret. They are not treating me as a beggar. Because he said in his word, God loves the cheerful giver. Among my people, when we say it is offering time, some people think, oh God, they have come again. No. These people got excited. They began to clap. They began to shout. They were rejoicing. God said, they are not treating me as a beggar. Details. And then finally, that woman came back to testify. There are many of us here who have many testimonies, and we have never shared one. That is why God is not lifting us higher. Because when God gives you a miracle, and you keep quiet about it, then there's no need for him to give you a second one. And yet we can go much higher than where we are. There's nobody among us who's already too high. I believe deeply within me that the Almighty God chose this particular theme for the beginning of our new year because He has made up His mind to promote some people. Yeah. Who will be the first to be promoted? Let me hear you shout hallelujah. So your last prayer point will be, Father, hear my cry tonight. Hear my cry. Because if He hears your cry and He drops His rope to you, by the time He's pulling you out, because His arms are everlasting, He will just keep on lifting you and lifting you and lifting you. I've given the illustration before. If a man is the one lifting you, how high he can lift you is determined by how tall he is, how high this tambourine can go. Is determined by how tall I am. If I like, I can go on my toes to lift it higher. But after some time, my toes will be paining me. So I go back, and then it will begin to come down. After some time, my hand will be heavy, and then the tambourine will begin to go down. After some time, I'm tired of standing, and I go and sit down, and the tambourine will be going down. But if God is the one who is lifting you, you'll be going higher and higher and higher until you get into glory. When you get into glory, then you will discover that glory is a category. There's a category of the glory of the sun, there's a category of the glory of the moon, there's a category of the glory of the stars. And stars even differ from stars in glory. So it doesn't matter how high you are now, you can go higher still. The altar is open. I'm going to give you 20 minutes because all your prayer points are going to be taken together now. Come and cry to God. The prayer of tonight is not the prayer of ladies and gentlemen. A man who is in a hole must cry loud and clear so that the one who can help him will hear the cry. Come and cry to the Almighty God. Cry to Him. Take all your prayer points that you have written down and begin to cry to the Almighty God for the next 20 minutes. Cry to Him. Let Him hear your voice, and I can assure you He will lift you up tonight and lift you into glory. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. If the fellow next to you wants to pray quietly, that's no problem. That's their own concern. Maybe they are not in need of a lifting, but if you need a lifting, cry, let God hear you. Thank you, Jesus. Let us begin to bring our prayers to a close. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. The Almighty God will hear your cry. He will restore you fully. Whatever may be the hole you are in, He will bring you out. He will lift you so high, your enemy will never be able to touch you. From now on, you'll be far above sickness, far above disease, far above barrenness, far above failure, far above defeat. Even the height you never dreamt you can reach, God will take you higher than that. He will hear your cry. And He will answer you by fire. So shall it be. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Let someone shout hallelujah. God bless you. You may please go back to your seats. Tonight we will want to lay hands on everyone. This is a night of a new beginning. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. At the same time, we'll be anointing our graduates, those who are graduating from Redeemer's University. That makes it a very, very unique university in the whole world. The university where the graduates are sent away with special anointing. So the way we're going to do it, the pastors will please line up to lay hands on the people. And when you are coming forward for the laying on of hands, particularly those of you who are trusting God for the fruit of the womb, I want you to come forward with a determination for the kind of children you want. If you want a boy, come forward for the laying on of hands with boy, 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 boy in your heart. If you want a set of wait, they will call you. Please go back to your seats. Go back to your seats. The pastors are not there yet. The people you are seeing are not the pastors. They are ushers. They will be pastors one day. So please don't rush. Go back to your seat. They will call you when it's your turn. Don't worry. We are not leaving here until we have prayed for everybody. Okay? God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Go back to your seat first. I'm just explaining how we're going to do things. The pastors will line up. You will come and tell them, and tell God as you are coming, "Oh Lord, I want a boy. Oh Lord, I want a girl. Oh Lord, I want a set of twins. Oh Lord, I want four at a go. or even more. You just ask him, he will do it for you. No problem about that. In the meantime, the angels will divide themselves into two. Four of them will help me go to the other side there to anoint the graduating students after I've blessed the oil. The others will help me lay hands on those who are on the altar here. In the meantime, the choir will continue to worship the Almighty God for us. Pastors, please let's take position so we can begin to lay hands on the people.
How excellent God is a miracle God. My God is a miracle God. My God is a miracle God. My God is a miracle God. When the people saw him, they started walking. And in there he went, my God was doing good.
And in there he went, he was doing good.
Oluwa mi odide Who don't know God, no,
say you be Lord of all.
No matter what the devil just said, he no matter what.
him down. You get everlasting love. Why did they rest me up above? You get a mighty and all that is.
Somebody shout hallelujah. I hope everybody have been prayed for. If there's anyone and they have not yet laid hands on you, then you need to run to the nearest pastor and let them lay hands on you. Now we just want to say thank you to the Almighty God before okay. That's better, but that's not good enough. That's not good enough. The people I told you about, when they say offering time, they shout, they jump, they rejoice, they rejoice. Good. Now, so let's quickly get ready our Thanksgiving offering. And while you are doing that, let me remind you once again, the Congress is always the second week in December. So the Congress this year is going to be Monday the 9th of December to Sunday the 15th. Monday the 9th to Sunday the 15th, and the theme is the great turnaround. The great turnaround. Okay, now so let's stand on our feet if you already got your offering ready, and then with joy in our hearts, we dance to the nearest basket, drop our offering. And then I will say the closing blessing, and you'll be on your way home. God bless you.
Jesus, you're a wonder. Jesus, you're a wonder. Jesus, you're a wonder. You're a wonder to my soul. Jesus, you're a wonder to my
And so, Father, we bless your holy name. Thank you for a wonderful beginning to our new year. Thank you for the marvelous things you have already said and done tonight. Please accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Father, bless the offering of your children. They've given it to you cheerfully. Father, respond cheerfully. Bless them this month like never before. Even before the end of this month, let your children begin to sing Wonder So-So. The Almighty God will go with you. And all of you who are trusting God for the fruit of the womb, this will be your month. Very, very soon, we will hear your testimonies. In all areas of your life, you will no longer be fruitless. It shall be well with you, and you will serve God like never before. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Who got the highest lifting tonight?